Morning, being hands and feet of Jesus Christ, that's what it's all about. We're called to be a witness of Jesus Christ, regardless of our situation. I'm sure you're worshiping at home with some other people around you. Why don't you just greet each other and say, we are the church. Our home is a church. This is a house church. Just greet each other with those words. We are continuing with the fear series. Last Sunday, we started with fear of loneliness, and today we're going to be talking about fear of commitment. One of the most feared words in modern vocabulary has to be the word commitment. We like to get involved, but not to be committed. We like to participate, but not commit. We like to contribute, but not to be fully committed. Because of one reason or another, we like to keep it simple. Keep it light, keep my options open. For me, bailout plan has to be present for me to do anything with any project or any organization. Living in this culture where marriage ends with the excuse of boredom and also hardship, where changing job is so frequent as changing your underwear, where we pick and choose what we want to believe and discard in religion, how can I convince you that commitment is a secret ingredient needed for this generation to find meaning and significance in life? Well, let me tell you the conclusion with confidence and boldness. We gain far more living a committed life than a detached life. Marriage becomes a celebration when husband and wife are committed to one another. Family becomes a little heaven when we are committed to one another. Individuals can receive eternal life by being committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. Church becomes a living community when we commit to that church. Why? Because with the commitment comes the focus. And when we focus, there is power. Then why are people so afraid of commitment? Why are we so reluctant to commit? Well, let me give you a few examples of why we are so afraid of commitment. First, it has to be our past experiences. We often are afraid of making commitment because we've been hurt in the past. Maybe a bad experience in marriage. As someone said, that when you get married, you get four rings. You get engagement ring, wedding ring, then you get suffering, then boring. The suffering and boring part maybe hurt you, and you don't want to commit anymore. Maybe you have experienced bad things at church. I hear from many people saying that they witnessed people fight at church, people fighting over power, position, or maybe bad experience in business, workplace. You have given up in committing, thinking that your past has failed you. That is causing you to fear commitment. Well, folks, take heart, because God is not concerned about our past. He is not God of past, but God of present and future. Philippians 3:13 and 14 says this, forgetting what is behind and straining forward toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Forgetting what is behind and pressing on toward a goal. That's the life that God is calling you and I to live. And second reason why we're so afraid of committing is because commitment requires long-term promise. We are a very impatient generation. We just want things to be instant. We have microwaves. We have cell phones that take pictures and we're able to see right away. We are not very patient generation. We're more concerned about what is happening right now. We want to have fun right now. We want to be rich right now. And we want to experience God's grace right now. We have no time to wait. So when we say commit, we feel like it involves long-term promise. Even God recognizes these blinding factors of our sinful nature. This is what he says in Mark chapter 4, verse 19. But the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth and the desire for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. The worries of present and deceitfulness that you can get rich right now and desires of other things, they choke our lives, making it unfruitful. These short-term values are keeping us from making the commitment to God and other things. And the third reason why we are so afraid of making commitment is this: we are shying away from the commitment because of the desire for independence. This is a big issue in America. We want to be independent. We don't want to be suppressed by anything. We want to be free. In America, we built our country on the Declaration of Independence. We love to be independent. So this desire for independence causes us to idolize independence. Well, look at the songs that's around. Maybe some of you are not old enough to know these songs. Don't Fence Me In. I've Got to Be Me. That was sung by Sammy Davis Jr., if you know who he is. Probably you're older than I am. I Don't Care What You Say, This Is My Life. I want independence. This is my life. Billy Joel sang that. And the famous My Way, sung by the Blue Eye, Frank Sinatra. It is all talking about an independent life. I don't want to be fenced in. I don't want to be told what to do. I just live my life the way I want to. The truth is, independence is not all that great. It is by no coincidence that the most independent-minded generation, the baby boomers, are also the loneliest generation we've had in America. The dark side of total independence is loneliness. God didn't make us to be independent. God made us to be dependent, in fact, to be interdependent on one another. The fourth reason why we are afraid of committing is because we committed in the wrong commitments. We've been involved, we've been committing our lives in the things that are not worthy, that doesn't count. Whether you like it or not, or whether we want or not, we make commitments. Well, when we buy a house, we make 30-year commitment to pay for that house. When we buy a car these days, you make short, maybe 3, 4, 5 years. And these days, they're coming out with the 8-year payment plans. We make commitments, yet those commitments that we make, it's just straining us, bringing us anxiety. To be committed to work, to be committed to a relationship, at times can bring anxiety and fear. We juggle with so many commitments already. The real issue is not about number of commitments we have made in our lives, but where we have made commitments to. What kind of commitments do I have in my life? Well, take Joe Kim, for example. This guy is a growing Christian, and he has prioritized his life. This is what I'm committed to. Number one, God. Number two, family. Number three, career. Number four, church. Number five, friends. On and on. You may be proud of that list, or Joe may be proud of the list, but that is not the way to live our life. When we prioritize that way, we tend to compartmentalize all of our lives. And when Sunday comes, then God becomes number one. And then other days, career becomes number one. When we compartmentalize and tend to prioritize, this is important, and these are the commitments that I have. When you compartmentalize, those things become very confusing. This is how it ought to be done. Committing to God, and God to be in the center of my life, and planning all things around it. That's the way to make commitment and prioritize my life. God desires for me to make commitment to him, that through my commitment to him, I may live a fruitful and a fulfilling life, that I may live doing the will of God. 1 Peter 4:2 says this: as a result of your commitment in Jesus Christ, you do not live the rest of your life for the evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. That when we make commitment to God, we don't live our life living by my desire, by my want, but doing the will of God. Pay attention to the word rest of earthly life. This commitment is not temporary, but it's permanent. Romans 6:13 says this, "Do not offer parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer your entire yourself to God." We are to offer not portion of it, but all of it. I remember listening to one of a sermon by Francis Chan. He came to speak, and then he brought a few drumsticks on stage, and then he began to eat the drumsticks. And he gave an example of how we just love to eat the meat and whatever's left over, which is bones. We give it to God. After we have enjoyed and after we have taken all things that are good, then what's left over, we give it to God. That is not how you live a committed life. Walking with God, being committed to Jesus Christ, means that giving all of yourself to God. We're talking about more than a decision. Many of you have decided to follow Jesus, but are you committed to him? You see, decision is one thing, commitment is another. You may decide to follow Jesus, but are you committed giving your life to him? Commitment to God is a complete surrender. It is not doing something for the Lord, but doing everything for the Lord. Paul, he was clear about his commitment to Jesus Christ. Romans 14:8 says this, "If we live, we live for the, to the Lord. If we die, we die to the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord." And then he writes to Philippians, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." For Paul, whether he lives or dies, his life belongs to God. He is committed fully and entirely. You see, we ask God for daily guidance, and he guides us. But in commitment, I'm saying that God, just as I rely on your guidance, you can trust me that I'm going to be with you. That's what total commitment is all about. God does not ask for spectators. He's looking for committed people. God is not just looking for the followers. He is looking for disciples. That's what commitment to God is all about. The reason why church is suffering these days is there are too many spectators. There are too many people who are just following, but too few committed people willing to die for the sake of Jesus Christ. There was a person who said this. I thought it was kind of funny. He prayed church prayer, intercessory prayer, and he used these words, "God, use me, Lord, use me in some advisory capacity. I don't want to be committed, but I want to just advise you what to do." What does that true commitment to God look like? Well, I want to tell you a story in the Bible about the commitment. There was a man who had everything going for him. God blessed him with many children, and God gave him wealth. God gave him a nice home. And in his life, he made commitment to live for God. When his children partied all night long, he made sacrificial offering to God in the morning on behalf of his children, just in case they sinned against God. On behalf of his children, he committed himself to give offering to God. But one day, he lost everything. His children, his health, his wealth, even his wife cursed him and left him. And listen to this man, committed man to God, what he says during the storm of his life. When he hears the news of all children being killed, rather than breaking his commitment to God, saying that, "God, how could you? I was committed to you, and how could you do this to me?" Rather than saying, being complaining to God and yelling at God, this is what he says in Job 1:21. "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised." That's what he says. I came with nothing, and I'm going to go with nothing. You gave all that I have, and you decided to take away. I'm just going to praise your name. It's a song that we sing, don't we? He gives and takes away. He gives and takes away. We love to be given by God. I love when God gives blessings. Oh, God is good. God loves me. But when he takes things that I treasure, that I really love, away from me, can I really say, praise be the name of God? It is hard. But that's what a committed person does to God. He or she stays committed regardless of circumstances. When his wife sees hopelessness in him, he tells him to curse God and die. And this is what he says to his wife. He replied in Job 2:10, "You are talking like a foolish woman. Shall we accept good from God and not trouble?" In all this, Job did not sin in what he said. To a woman, his wife, who is telling him, God is really punishing you. Curse God and die. And she was about to leave him. She says, "You are a foolish woman. How can we just stay with God only in good times, not in troubled times?" And God, it says that Job did not sin in what he said. You see, in times such as these right now, what we're going through, losing jobs, having to close business, not being able to go to school and go through graduation and all these things that needs to happen. And we are almost like, we feel like we're being cursed. We're being just, wrath of God is upon us. We feel like we're just suffering so much. And there are people who are cursing God. God, how could you do this? But we stay committed to him. Regardless of what happens, in good times and bad times, we are committed to you, O God. When his friends came and discouraged him, this is what he says, "Indeed, I know that this is true, but how can a mortal be righteous before God?" How can you really complain to God? He's a righteous God. We cannot claim our righteousness. And we listen to his final statement of commitment in Job 13:15. "Though he slay me, yet will I hope in him." Even if God takes my life away, I am gonna stick with him. This is commitment. We make these kind of commitments too in our human relationship, don't we? When we get married, we make commitment. Better or worse, in sickness and in health, rich and poor, we are gonna be sticking together. We are committing. You see, God is asking for our commitment as well. True commitment, not commitment that will be given up when hard time comes. Job was a man, and in his course of his hardship, he could have bailed out of his commitment to God. You see, even when everything in his life fell apart, his commitment remained. Are you committed to Jesus? Can you stay committed even if you're walking through the valley of shadow of death? Can you be committed to God even when you lose your job? When you lose someone that you love? True commitment is like a postage stamp, someone said. Its usefulness consists in the ability to stick to one thing until it gets there. Until it's delivered, you are sticking where you are stuck. Why do I need to commit? Well, two things. First, God committed to me first. God decided to commit his life to me. Jesus was the price of his commitment. Because God loved me so much to the point of giving his only son to save a sinner like me, that is good enough reason for me to commit my life to him. He gave his best in order to save me. So I give my commitment to him. And second reason why I need to commit to him is this, because his commitment, this commitment has the best return. Whenever you are asked to commit to something, oftentimes we take out the calculator and we punch the number to see if the return is going to be worth it. That's part of what we do. When we are asked to do something, okay, what's in for me? What do I get back? When we commit to God, what does God promise? Psalm 37, 5 and 6 says this, "Commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun." You are going to be shining. You are going to be like a star of God. That's what he's promising. If you commit your way to the Lord, the return is going to be, God's going to make you shine. You're going to be a person that will really brighten up the dark world. That's what you are going to become once you commit your life to Jesus Christ. Right now, we're going through dark days. We need light in this darkness. For each one of God's children to shine like the dawn, and for us to be like the noonday sun, that is the best blessing that we can enjoy in these dark days. The real issue is this. Do you want to be a casual Christian for the rest of your life? The danger of our church is this. Chodae Church is quite a large church. You can hide in the crowd and be uncommitted. Walk in and walk out and nobody will say anything to you. Nobody will grab you and say, unless you commit, you can't come. No one will say that. But God knows. He knows whether you're wasting your life or whether you are making your life count for his purpose. He knows. We cannot be sort of committed to Christ. Partial commitment is no commitment at all. A hen and a pig approached the church and read advertised sermon topic. What can we do to help the poor? Immediately, hen suggested that they feed these kind of people, poor people, with bacon and egg. The pig thought for a moment and said, there's only one thing wrong with that feeling, bacon and egg to the poor. For you, it requires only contribution, but for me, it requires total commitment, that I have to die to give bacon. That's what he meant. You see, for us to be committed to Christ, for God to commit his life to us, he had to die on the cross. Now God is calling us, how committed will you be to me? Will you follow me all the days of your life? Because I'm going to be with you. C.S. Lewis once said this, the only thing Christianity cannot be is to be moderately important. If it really is true, if God is real, then it deserves everything that I got. If it's not true, then we just need to just go home. Being used by God is what makes life matter. You're not really living your life until you felt the presence and the touch of the Holy Spirit. For us to realize that my life counts because my life is committed to Jesus Christ. Make your commitment to God. Make commitment not half-hearted, but the full commitment to God. God, I want to take inventory of my life to see where I am with you. And I want to commit my life to you. Many have posted in their Facebook and SNS, stay home and save lives. Our family is doing that too. We're staying home. Everyone's home, so except the children who are independent now, they're living their life in California. We're all here in New Jersey. And because we're home, we are just cooking a lot. And I'm going through the refrigerator, and my wife is going through it too, to see what is there to eat. And we're finding a lot of interesting stuff. We didn't know that we had it. We're taking an inventory of all the food matters and then, you know, just taking it out and eating them. Not only do we need to go through the refrigerator, but we need to go through our heart and take an inventory of what we have in our heart. Am I truly committed to God who has called me, who is going to the cross on this Palm Sunday? He has taken that intentional step of going to the cross. What am I doing to follow the cross? You see, following the cross meant living the life not for himself, for others. When we say, I am going together with Jesus Christ, and Jesus, his life was all about not myself, but for the sake of others as well. As we watched the video earlier on, that what we can do in the world that is getting darker is for us to become the light of Jesus Christ. So today, after the service, if you're with the family members, I would like you to go over these two questions. How committed am I to Jesus Christ? What am I doing to prove my commitment to him? And second question is this, what is hindering me from full commitment to Jesus Christ? And talk about these things and then take inventory of your heart and your life. May God bless you. Let's pray. God, we give you praise, glory, and honor, for you are God who is worthy of being praised and honored. Lord, as we have heard the message on the commitment of commitment to Jesus Christ, as Paul, just after finishing his race of his life, just praise God for his commitment to you, may we be able to do the same thing at the end of our life journey, that we will be able to praise God and give all the praise and glory to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.